Hello, this is The Link Show. We're going to get started in just a couple minutes here. In the meantime, if you have IRC access, be sure to join us at irc.thelinuxshow.com and channel /Linux Show. So hang in there. We'll get started right after these messages.
And we're back.
Hey, it's The Link Show. It is September the 30th, 2003, last day of the month. We're bringing you another edition of The Linux Show. This may sound a little different tonight because Kevin and I are both on site in the same place, and so it may have a little echo in the phones because we're in the same building tonight, but it'll be minor if anything. But it is a new place for me to be working on the show tonight, so inevitably, I'm going to make a mistake on one thing or another, so we'll live up to our traditional train wreck of the week, that's for sure. Just about everybody is here, still waiting on Doc to call in. Tonight's going to be a fun show. We're going to have joining us in the second half of the show a couple of old friends of the Linux Show. One of them has not been on the show for quite some time, Dave from old days gone by. I think, boy, the last time Dave was on the show was probably back in the Atipa days. But Dave will be calling in during segment number two, along with Brian, both, of course, from Linux Today, past and present. We'll be talking to them in segment number two about the fifth anniversary and all of the impact that Linux Today has had on the Linux community. It's been a pretty interesting story through all these years, the contributions that both Dave and Dwight and various people have put into keeping Linux Today going and providing our daily dose of Linux news links. So it'll be interesting segment number two to help them celebrate the fifth anniversary of Linux Today. But we're going to go and have a normal, regular old segment number one before we do. But before we do, let's jump in with a couple of announcements. First of all, for those of you who have been long-time supporters of the Linux Show, we are very shortly going to be publishing our annual information. Should come out at the middle of October. Our annual information about the travel schedule that we're planning on doing for the year. So if you've got a LUG group and you'd like us to come visit you for your LUG event, we're going to be booking up the 2004 schedule. We're going to start booking that up pretty soon. So we'll have further announcements about that over the next couple weeks. And a little announcement, another thanks to our sponsor du jour, sponsor of the month, the folks at linuxquestions.org. Again, they've been sponsoring us for the last month, been real helpful having them on board as a sponsor, not only as a cash supporter, cash is always good, but Jeremy, the leader over there at linuxquestions.org, has really thrown the community that surrounds their website entity. We've really started to get a lot of participation from the community members there here on the Linux Show as well. A lot of new people listening to the Linux Show, thanks to the efforts of the people at linuxquestions.org. So thank you very much, and hope we can count on you for your continued support. But we'll bring in those members of the panel that are here already, and we'll bring in Doc later when he gets on the phone. But still out in California. Arnie, how are you doing tonight?
Beautiful day here. We're doing great.
No smog, huh?
No smog. It's cooling off finally. The miserable September 100 century mark temperatures. I absolutely hate them.
It was so cold here on Saturday night at, 4 o'clock in the morning when I was out partying this weekend. I thought it was going to snow this weekend.
Wow.
It was really just bitterly cold. You know, it had to be bitterly cold. You know why?
Why?
The Cubs won.
The Cubs won. And in hell it is cold indeed.
So it is cold in hell. The Cubs won. So it's an amazing week here in Chicago. There's already been just one constant celebration after another. If this keeps up, if they keep on winning in the playoffs, this community, this town is going to be a wreck come the end of October. It's just going to be a disaster area. But we'll see. People here in the Chicago area have got their fingers crossed. How are you out on the East Coast tonight, Russ?
Oh, it is it's nice. It's cool. But fall is definitely falling, I suppose. I guess it really is sweater weather out here, but it's otherwise very pleasant, and it's pretty good. We're not drifting away in the waters like we had been with the hurricane and the aftermath of the hurricane. So that's definitely good news.
Oh, good. And I see already out on the IRC, people are really happy about the no-hum. This is a no-hum show, at least we hope it is. We replaced a good deal of our equipment 2 weeks ago, and so last week and tonight, you should have a much higher sound quality than in the past. We're going to be publishing to our website the changes in the equipment that we made to our servers, so that anybody, I know there's a couple people out there who just started a radio show this past week using similar technology to what we've got going, and so we will publish what we've done, gotten new modems, and things should be sounding a little better. But speaking of sounding a little better, next week I'm going to be posting something new to the Linux Show website. Actually, I was trying to have it done for tonight, but just didn't get my act in gear fast enough. I was just playing out partying too much this week, and I had a great time. Starting next week, we're going to have a new link on the website. And this is a link that is going to be for a special donation fund. This is going to be the Buy Kevin a Hybrid contribution fund. So all of you longtime Linux Show listeners who are happy with the quality of the sound, if you're like what we've done in the last couple of weeks, you ain't seen nothing yet. If we can get our hands on a hybrid unit, the show will really sound great.
Hybrid.
Yes, a hybrid unit is something that allows us to individually mix phone inputs separately, so that we can balance everybody's phone inputs out. So right now we're mixing everything into one port, and if we bring one volume down, we bring everybody's volume down. And sometimes when we have our guests calling from Timbuktu, it could be a little hectic to get things to buzz, or get the buzz out and still keep the balance even. But so keep an eye out for that next week. We're going to start this fund going, and hopefully we'll put it up on the website and put a little meter as the money comes in, and hopefully by the end of the year or maybe the first quarter of next year, we'll have gathered enough money in this special fund to buy Kevin a hybrid unit. So keep an eye out for that. But let's go ahead and jump right into the show. We got lots of news, and not an awful lot of time before we bring our two guests into the show tonight. So let's get moving forward. Ton of news this week. So, Russ, why don't you kick it off? You've got a couple of links out on the site.
Yeah, there's a few stories out there. You can find it at the Linux Show website. One is kind of short and sweet, and that is that SUSE has changed their name, and their name, which used to be SUSE, is now SUSE, but it is spelled with a capital U as opposed to the lowercase u, which is a very small change, but given the at least the American mindset, that makes a whole lot more sense than having a lowercase u in the middle of the word. So so that's just an interesting little snippet, although I was reading something that said that the new logo is over at the German SUSE site, and I looked over there, and I still saw that little lizard hanging around, and I'm still not quite sure that lizard's a really tremendous marketing asset to them, but oh well.
It's a gecko.
Yeah, whatever. It's a weird little green lizard is what it is. And, so be it. But, go ahead.
I got to ask you. When I was listening to a press release on this that came out, it was a recording of a press release that came out actually yesterday. And after reading some of the subsequent follow-up stuff, aren't you just getting the idea that this is just a little bit of fun that the people at SUSE are having with us? This one letter change in their name. I even heard one executive quote that there's no question that this is change for the sake of change.
Yeah, well,
and there's really no motivation behind it other than, an excuse to make a press release. And I think they're just having a little fun with it.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me that I used to run SUSE here at Longship, and it's a good distribution, but as a frequent hanger on at on the SUSE forums, half the time people were just typing it uppercase anyway, and maybe they just wanted just to make it easier. I don't know. It seems like a minor change, though.
I think I'm probably going to continue to type it with the lowercase for years to come. It's just one of those things I'm going to have trouble with. I can tell I'm not good at change. I don't like change.
Oh boy, I don't think we should follow that topic too closely at this point.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Any more stories?
Yeah, a couple others. One is talks about from LinuxDevices.com, a growing opportunity for Linux in retail point of sale, and it's talking about how IBM now apparently is pushing point of sale Linux, and this is something that we've known about for some time. It's interesting on a few fronts. One is that we all kind of knew this was coming if we were paying attention. Another is that point of sale is traditionally one of the strongholds of SCO, and it seems interesting that IBM would be pushing Linux point of sale right now when they're having their own arguments with SCO, which is interesting. But I think it's good that this is getting some press, because I think this is that there's going to be a real thrust here very shortly in this area, and so it's good to see that IBM's making some noise.
Well, we've seen companies like Burlington who have dumped Linux, who dumped Unix. I believe they had Unix, dumped Unix for Linux, and there's a couple other pretty big retailers going with Linux these last few years.
Yeah, there's been a lot of sort of individual efforts, but what I haven't seen is the real swelling of it. And I'm expecting that to show up any day now, quite frankly, because it's a real natural fit. It's got good return on investment and all that sort of stuff wired into it. So it's a matter of time. But it's just good to see some noise being made in that area.
Yep. Can I break in here for 1 second, guys? I just want to make an announcement to all the listeners. The pipe is really full, so if you do get bumped off inadvertently, it's just because there's a lot of listeners out there tonight, and the T1s are filling up, folks. God, we're going to have to get another circuit. Anybody got a mirror site they want to donate? Boy, it's amazing. Every time we add a new mirror, we just get a bunch more listeners, and it fills up real quick. It's amazing. So, but that's enough. I just wanted to let people know that the circuit was running real slow. So that's it. Go back to your story talking about whatever it was you were talking about.
Well, actually, I'm pretty much done with that thing about the point of sale. But the last one that I want to draw attention to. And this is kind of interesting. Before the program, Arnie and I were discussing this a little bit, that he's going to be talking about some positive words from Ransom Love, who used to take a lot of grief at Caldera, and I'm going to say some positive words about Michael Robertson, who has taken a whole lot of grief at Lindo's, even for me has taken a lot of grief at Lindo's. It's, of course, the pissing contest between Microsoft and Lindo's over the MSFreePC.com site, where Lindo's is trying to capitalize basically on the fact that California has sort of nailed Microsoft to the floor on some of its adventures out there.
I'm really torn on this. I really am, because I think it's cool that they're making it easy for people in California to process these claims. But once again, I mean, it sends a red flag off to me that here goes Michael Robertson once again spending a fortune on a PR-oriented thing and not improving his product.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but the banter, in particular, the link that's on the web show or on the web page for the show is Robertson's response to Bill Gates.
Yep.
And the wording of this, not only does he hit the nail on the head, but he kind of drives it into the board with one shot. He does a really, really excellent job of laying out the fact that Microsoft is being horribly hypocritical in their objections to the website, in particular complaining that digital signatures are not valid, which, considering Microsoft's entire thrust having to do with passport, et cetera, trying to claim that digital signatures aren't valid is a really, really disturbing thought to be coming out of their mind. Really wild. But it's a very interesting piece, and there is a link to the original letter that they received from Microsoft. And it's worth the read for folks out there.
He doesn't hold anything back on that letter.
No, that's one thing I've noticed about his communications in general. He generally doesn't hold things back. This time, at least, I think he's sort of aiming the cannon in the right direction, as opposed to some times before when that was kind of open to debate. But it's a very interesting little piece there, worth the read.
Yep, it definitely is. And like I said, I am torn on it, but you really do have to you have to give kudos when they're due. Even I'm very public about the fact that I don't agree with Robertson's business plan, but you do have to admire him when he does something that's really a benefit to not only the people in the Linux community, but consumers as well. And so you got to give the guy the credit for that. That's for damn sure. So,
Russ, what was the Microsoft tried to do a takedown on MSFreePC.com, and what was their basis for that? So for the listeners.
Okay, let me just hop over there, and I'll try to summarize it quick. They claim that the MSFreePC website is deceptive. It mischaracterizes the settlement and misleads the public. And when they get down to the breakdown of what that entails, they have a clause A, claims submitted through the website will be invalid because they will not be signed. And they go on about how digital signatures are not valid. And then they go on to B, claims submitted through the website will be invalid because they do not include a certification that the entire claim form is accurate, which, my gosh.
Can they really do a takedown on the website for that, on that basis?
And then C is, website is invalid because Settlement agreement requires that claimants submit their own claims. Oh my gosh, how dare they try to make the process
easy
for people. You know, it's supposed to be one of those things where, have you ever seen those refund forms that, some scammer type groups put out? You know, they have, like, you know, put your name in the upper left hand corner, now put the, you know, your street address inside the lower right hand corner, put the date 2 inches down from the center of the, you know, right hand bottom, you know, just crazy ass stuff. So it's like, my goodness, it's too easy for people to actually do this. And they also actually complain that that they don't mention that if people don't claim the money that is owed them, that something like that Microsoft has agreed to give like a third of the unclaimed money to the California school system. Now, obviously, Microsoft still ends up it ends up being like software vouchers or something for, I forget what the full agreement is, but it's, you know, it's not even all the money. It's not like if Arnie doesn't claim his share, then the California school system is going to get that money. No, the California school system gets some portion thereof. And as Mr. Robertson points out in his rebuttal, given the fact that Microsoft is, you know, the 800-pound gorilla, even that portion that Microsoft gives to the California school system is liable to come back to them in sales anyway.
Well,
Don't forget the vouchers are probably vouchers for built-in lock-in.
Well, they may be, and they may also be tax deductible as well, because they are not technically a part of the settlement. If the claims are not made, Microsoft is not obligated to pay the rest of the settlement. It's right there in black and white in the settlement. So them offering to take the rest of the money and donate it to schools in whatever form they do really is a separate issue outside of the domain of the settlement, and that could be taken by as a corporate tax deduction.
Yeah.
And is very likely to be. So, once again, it's all fraud by Microsoft, so what you going to do, huh?
That's it.
Well, Arnie, have you got some stories for us this week?
Oh, you betcha.
I know you've got one that is also the top story on my list. And,
which is one?
The story on ransom. So we can share that one tonight, but go ahead and let's...
I'll start with the others then, and we'll get through them pretty quick. The first one is the article's entitled simply "The Sharer," and is a interview with Linus Torvalds, published in the New York Times Magazine section. And this is a really nice little interview. It's fairly brief, as these things tend to be, but I highly recommend your listeners trot on over to the New York Times website, or just click on through from the Linux Show, and he talks about file sharing and a few other things, and viruses, and it's a short interview, but it's very nice. One of the better ones he's given. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought I heard something. Sorry. The one I published, I posted just at airtime. Is also connected to Linus because this article quotes Linus. It's published in Information Week, HP's Big Bet, and it talks about what HP is trying to do to indemnify their users for against SCO claims. And what really, really focuses this thing is this by Larry Greenemeyer. And what really focuses this thing is Larry has picked up some information from Linus. And I'm going to quote Linus here. He says, "I find it interesting that HP said that they have no Linux-specific agreements and have not paid SCO anything for that indemnification, Linux creator Linus Torvalds wrote last week in an email to Information Week. Quoting again, "To me, it says HP isn't too worried about the validity of any SCO lawsuits," unquote. And, boy, that just about says it all.
So why hasn't the stock price gone down?
Well, I mean, stock prices go up and down. I mean, you know, like if you could connect that event to stock prices, I mean, you know, we'd all be rich.
Well, SCO's been pretty up. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, well, they've been going down too.
Well, of course, the thing with SCO too is that you know, SCO issued a press release last week saying that the fact that HP is offering indemnification proves that they're right.
Yeah.
You know, proves that there's a problem, which is their standard sort of spin, spinning everything. But as long as they're constantly spinning things, that's going to keep the stock, or at least has the chance of keeping the stock price up, because they are out there selling spin like no one I've seen in years.
Well, they've gone down again today. So SCO and down 0.3%.
Did you happen to see Robin's post on NewsForge on Monday about SCO?
I think I missed that one.
It was hilarious, very hilarious. Okay, what brought this to mind was your comment about their enormous spin job. But Robin made a post to NewsForge on Monday that said, today is officially the first day that I will not have a SCO posting. Somebody at SCO forgot to release the daily barrage of press releases.
Yeah.
So he apparently was the first time in literally weeks that they didn't have a posting at NewsForge for SCO.
Oh, I like that article. That was really funny.
Yeah.
It was really funny. There's no news, no SCO news today.
Yeah, no SCO news today. That's funny. Any more stories?
Oh yeah, let's do our friend Ransom.
Yeah, how about that story? That is incredible.
eWeek this week published a really, really, really great interview with Ransom Love, co-founder of Caldera and SCO. And well, like, I don't know if he's co-founder of SCO, but he's
the buyer.
Caldera bought out SCO, so in a way. And he was interviewed by a long-term friend, Linux friend, Stephen Von Nichols of eWeek. And Von Nichols comes right out. Let's cut to the chase. What did you intend to do with the Unix source code? Great, great interview. Ransom says, clearly, when we acquired SCO and Unix, our intention was to see how Unix could expand and extend Linux. In a lot of technologies, Linux was going slightly different ways, but we thought Unix was a natural companion. We thought into it. And he just goes on and on and on explaining how that the two together were like the bigger than either one separate. It becomes real quickly that Ransom thinks that the SCO, latest SCO things are pretty bad.
Well, not only that, he completely corroborates all of the comments that people were making during the last 12 months about what was going on in the days immediately after the purchase. I mean, I was talking to people who, of course, will no longer do this, that they were doing everything they possibly could to incorporate the Unix source into Linux. At that time, they were doing it themselves. And so that Ransom's comments today in that article completely corroborate those kind of anecdotal comments. So it's clear that SCO themselves, there was not an unintentional inclusion of the source code as Darryl and his crew have stated. It was absolutely intentional that source code was included. And
you know, the other thing that I found interesting is that Love explains that their intention was to merge the products at one time, but the only issue that prevented them from doing it was the copper rates in the old Unix.
And a lot of it was Sun. Sun was preventing it.
Sun and Intel
yeah,
specifically. And of course, another thing they address in this interview is IBM, the IBM lawsuit. And Ransom fills in some of the things. He's not real favorable on the IBM side of things, but you know he's party to privy to some information maybe that the general public isn't.
But Ransom also states fairly clearly in that article, though, that IBM did pull something with Monterey. And so he is not completely finding IBM guiltless in all of the transactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So there is comments both ways. So it is... it was an interesting article. I was really glad Ransom came out of the cave, came down from the mountain, and started to go on the record again. It was really refreshing to hear that kind of commentary out of Ransom.
Welcome back, Ransom.
Yeah, you're a great guy. Always have been. Haven't always agreed with everything Ransom has done.
He's always been a nice guest when he's been on the Linux show.
Yep. Yep. Any more stories, Arnie?
Let's see. I think there's one more thing, and this is the SCO city-to-city tour coming to a city near you.
Yeah, well, that was my other story.
I'll let you take it then.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And the reason why I'm excited about
we need to publish those cities so that we have a good, so people can register for the things and we can have a good turnout.
We have two ways we can approach this, okay? And the local lug here in Illinois, Looney, has been having a debate all day long on to what is the best action to take in this. They just posted today the link to the Chicago stop of the tour. And so the question remains, and it's still being debated on the Looney list as we speak. I'm getting emails on this. As to whether or not we should spend the time, money, and effort to organize protests at the roadshow, or would we be better off going to the SCO website and just having lots of Linux folks register? These roadshow stops are limited, depending upon the location, to 50 to 100 participants, and just have Linux people sign up and don't go. Which would be more effective as a protest?
Well, I think it would be more effective. It would be fun to if I signed, if they were coming to L.A. here, like coming to Irvine, if they're coming to L.A. here, I would probably register and go.
Yeah, but by going and protesting, and that's what a lot of the people on the Looney list here in Chicago want to do, and I'm not necessarily against that, but are we not just adding to the noise? And it seems like any time there is noise around stock or around SCO, their stock goes up. And so are we doing them a favor by showing up and protesting?
Well, it depends on how much they're spending on this thing and whether, they get any,
It's a road show. Road shows are for one purpose. Road
marketing.
Shows are to pump stock price.
Hmm.
That's what they're for.
Well, you're saying that noise is driving up their stock. It's not the noise that's driving up their stock. It's the fact that they're making the noise that's driving up the stock. They're taking every opportunity and spinning everything on the frickin' planet. So, I mean, if people came with showed up to these things and then halfway through unbuttoned their shirts to show that they have some of those no SCO t-shirts on underneath or something like this, I don't think their stock price is going to go up over that.
especially if you call Channel 4. Never mind.
Well, it's an interesting notion, but the information is right at the SCO website. Go look at the SCO website and look at the road show. You'll see cities listed across the United States during the course of the next month and a half. They're going to be hitting a number of cities.
Toronto, Boston, Chicago, Vancouver, Dallas, Newark, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Irvine, California, Atlanta, and ending up in Orlando on the 29th.
But if you're going to register, folks, register tonight. because this thing is going to fill up within the next day or two, because they're really, they're only taking 50 to 100 per city. And so somebody just said on the IRC, who at IBM suggested that we protest? That's funny. Yeah, no one. But no, go there and register tonight if you want to attend one of these SCO events. And I'm probably going to attend the one here in the Chicago area. So I just can't help myself.
You're going to have a live report from there.
Maybe. It's at 8:30 in the morning, so it would be a recorded report. But I'm having trouble just thinking of
myself.
Take
your Niagara with you.
I think of myself getting out of bed that early in the morning. But well, I tell you, it is 36 after the hour, so we're already a little bit behind schedule. Let's take a really short break and come back with segment number two of the Linux Show. Thanks again to all of our sponsors. We have had, during the last 2 weeks, a slew of individual folks out there, not just people like LinuxQuestions.org, but a lot of individual listeners have been donating money during the last couple of weeks. We really do appreciate that. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to have an honor roll page added to our website, and we're not going to post on how much people are donating, but we're going to go ahead and put the names up on an honor roll of individual listeners out there who have thrown a few bucks our way, because we really do appreciate the support that all you listeners out there do give us, whether it's monetarily or telling your employers to sponsor us or just telling friends about the show. You out there are what make this show possible and have made this show stay on the air for as many years as we've been on the air. So thank you, and keep up the great work that you've been doing on behalf of the Linux Show. But let's kick back, relax, take a short break. Kevin, put on a tune. We'll be right back, everybody. Just chill. We'll be right back.
And she is the sea, and she bleeds. From every dawn to every dusk of every day. If she is the boat and he is the breath that fills the gale, the crest and fall, the thrust and thrall, the bill on the sail. If he is the sextant, she is the stars by which he guides. From sombering sea to port at every even tide. If she is the gull and he is the sanguine song she cries, a wistful wordless question pulls the sea and sky. If he is the halcyon calm and she's a summer storm that drowns him in her furious skin, the hungry wild and warm. Ripples in the deep and wide places of our hearts, tumbling in the deep and wide places of our hearts. Every ocean has its depths that we could never hope to chart. It is here that we have anchored every secret of our hearts. If he is the stream and she is the tale, his babbling tones, the dream of every desert, every empty well. If she is the cliffs and he is the waves that shatter here, seal away the stone and hopes of creeping near. From unity is impossible, we understand, but this doesn't stop the sea and shore from lingering in the sand. The wonder of the current, the winding of the eel, well stone to fragments, gold, the sunken soul, the sand is real, to the whisper of the tide. present steps that we could never hope to chart. It is here that we have anchored every secret of our hearts. Vanishing breath, they enter the waves. For only the drowned can be saved. The weight of their trust shall carry them swift. So deep below the end flow, and their hearts start praying.
And we're back.
It's the Linux Show for September the 30th, 2003. It's the last day of the month. We're heading into October. So what does October mean? It means that towards the end of this month, we have our annual Halloween show. Everybody be prepared for the announcements coming up about our annual online scavenger hunt with wondrous toys and surprises. For all of you people who participate in our scavenger hunt, it'll be whatever show ends up being closest to Halloween night will be the night of the scavenger hunt. So come on by. We'll have a real lightweight show that night because it'll be more fun doing the trivia scavenger hunt than actually doing the show. It's something that Kevin and I put together every year and have a lot of fun with, and so we expect you all to turn out and win wondrous prizes like Linux Journal T-shirts and things like that. We'll have a whole list of prizes available at the time where we actually put the show together. So that'll be coming up in about 31 days from now, so hang in there. But let's go ahead and jump into segment number two while we've got about 20 or 25 minutes left on the show. And let's bring in our guests. Boy, we had to do this. This is the fifth anniversary of Linux Today, one of the oldest Linux portals that's out there. And I was sitting back thinking when I saw the post on the Linux Today website of when was the first time I actually met either Dwight or Dave in the old days. And, I sat there and I thought about it and I thought about it and I just can't remember. It's too long ago. But
it was San Jose Linux World Expo.
It could be. With Dwight, it may go back to even earlier than that. It may go back to an ALS show.
Yeah.
It goes back a long time ago. But boy, it's real exciting. I was unable to get a hold of Dwight. Sent out a couple of emails. He has not responded back. But fortunately, we've got Dave, the other co-founder of Linux Today, and there's Dave's bio is out on the Linux Show website, so go check out www.thelinuxshow.com and find out about this wondrous human being who at the age of 27 has both suffered and succeeded in just an unbelievable IT industry, a period of the IT industry, which has been rough, to say the least. But Dave keeps on popping up every year or two with a venture that does good work and seems to keep his fingers into things. So, hi, Dave. Welcome back to the show after a long absence, and it's good to talk to you again.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. It was 5 years ago that Linux Today was founded.
Well, actually, this would be about the the 6th anniversary of Linux Today, but it's the 5th anniversary of Linux Today under the name Linux Today. Because we were operating a news site for quite a while before we actually named it Linux Today.
And what were you calling it before that?
Well, I mean, here's something that a lot of people don't know about, but really Red Hat kind of financed the creation of Linux Today.
Well, when you were doing tech support at Red Hat.
Yeah, I was working for Red Hat, and there was no Linux news site. This was before Slashdot and, you know, LWN and all of that. And what I did is I put together a little internal web page for the Red Hat people. It was just a little news site that I was just putting together. And, you know, finally, well, when I left Red Hat, I was enjoying doing the news, so I just continued to do it on my own domain. And I called it 3-point Linux News because I had a 3-point.com domain. That domain's long gone. So I continued to do the 3-point Linux News for quite a long time. And then Dwight came up to me, I guess that was 98, and asked me if I wanted to, you know, make a business out of doing a Linux news site. And, I said, well, okay. And that was that. We had to decide on a name, and, you know, we were thinking about it, and Linux Today just kind of sounded good, and the domain name was available, so we bought the
it
domain.
It still sounds good.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, our competitors at the time, you know, LWN, Linux Weekly News, you know, they had started up 6 months before we started doing Linux Today. And, you know, they were a weekly site, and my idea was a daily site, more like really an hourly or a minutely site. And, see, now I was just thinking about, you know, something that just, you know, not what's going on this week, but what's going on today. And so, you know, Linux Today, it just came about just like that. So it's been since the summer of 1997 is when I started doing news altogether. That was over 6 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, well, the irony, the first time Dwight and I actually sat down and had dinner together, which goes back an eon ago, too, we sat down with a couple of calendars, and the irony of it is that you guys pretty much were sitting down and developing the concept of Linux Today like the same weekend that Kevin and I were developing things for the Linux show. It was really bizarre when we found that out. So, it's really good to see some of the old time things hanging in and surviving. It's got to be really a tremendous, stroke to your ego to see Linux Today still around.
Well, I don't know about a stroke to my ego, but, you know, it's definitely a credit to Internet.com. And that's why I chose Internet.com, you know, when I was selling the business, is really we didn't know we were going to sell the business, actually. We were just kind of going along, and I had just, you know, I had moved from Dallas up to Tennessee, and, we were making, you know, money, and, you know, we were supporting ourselves. We had no idea that we would sell. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we had all these people coming to us. You know, I guess this was shortly after Slashdot and Fresh Meat, you know, were sold to Andover.
Yep.
And, Internet.com comes along, and, you know, I was talking to them, and, I really got the idea that these guys really did, you know, they were, well, you know, they seemed like they were on the up and up. And, I met, was it Meckler?
Alan Meckler?
Yeah. And, he's a top-notch guy, and I talked to several of the other guys. I think I talked to Gus Vendito. And anyway, you know, these guys, they really impressed me. And, I was pretty confident that, you know, they would continue. I knew beforehand that I would be leaving Linux Today when I sold it to them. And I knew that these guys would get the job done. And look, here we are 4 years later after I sold it, and it's almost exactly the same as it was when I left it, except better, you know, with better features and stuff. And the content is just as good. So really, I mean, it's Internet.com. They're the ones who get the credit for Linux Today. Today, you know, I only ran it for 1/5 of the time that it's been in existence.
And that's and their continual high standards has got to. We have to thank Brian Proffitt. Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian. Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and Brian's on the show tonight as well.
Yeah.
Brian, you picked up the reins at Linux Today, what, about a year ago?
It's been, about a year and a half, actually. But, yeah.
Yep. And, boy, the site has gone through quite a few changes just in the last year alone.
Yeah, 2003, I think, you know, marks a lot of significant events for us. I mean, we had an editorial you know, switch over right before the year started. And then when Michael Hall left to go on to better things, and then we had the big redesign this spring. And that has been that has turned out to be a real joy, actually.
Yeah. I've got to ask you a question about the redesign.
Sure.
One of the things that I don't want to say that it's bothered me as much as I think it's unfortunate, that from the day you did the cutover, that huge database of websites or stories that were out there just sort of disappeared. Now, some of them were still there, but it used to be in the old database, there were literally, you know, you'd type in a specific thread and you'd get a continuous thread going back several years of a couple of hundred stories, and you just don't have that kind of depth with the new site. Is there any chance you can integrate in that old database?
Are you talking about like the related stories?
Yeah.
On the bottom? Well, you know, actually, it's still there, but we, and I play around with this a little bit, we found that about four is good, because when I, part of when the job that I do when I post a story is on the back end, it's a separate function. I have to go and find all those related stories.
Yep.
And usually I'm pulling in thousands. You know, if I mean, I don't even want to tell you how many stories come up when I type SCO in. You know, way too many.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and I even have to narrow, and even if I narrow it down to like, because I can narrow it down the search by categories, and if I can do like category, you know, legal, you know, then it's still, of course, way too many. But I choose to only do four, you know, and that's really just a choice on my part. It's not that the depth isn't there, but we've decided to do four. And you're actually the first person that's actually said they'd like to see more.
Well,
you know, it would be no problem because...
Yeah, this is true when you're doing just a general search, too. You just don't have as much depth as you used to do.
That's a problem we're aware of because those stories are still there. That database was not altered, but somehow during the switchover, the access to the database, to the archives, got a little hinky. And we are working on that even now. We think we get it fixed, and then somebody comes up and says, no, these stories aren't, you know, coming up right. So it's still an ongoing process. Because really, Linux today, the physical infrastructure of the site really hasn't changed much since, you know, Dave and Dwight really first worked on it. We took that PHP back end, and it really hasn't changed much. And part of the problem with the redesign was we were asking that back end to do a lot of new things that it hadn't done before. And there were some, yeah, there were some glitches along the way.
Is it still static?
Oh, it's
HTML?
I mean, Dave, weren't you generating static HTML?
Yeah, that was like only during the first 3 months, though.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, we had a really small server. Really, what it was I was using Mod Perl in the beginning and on a very small piece of hardware. And on the third week into the site, we had a big, you know, weblog linked to us, /.link to us, and. I learned my lesson on that one. So I didn't have the money though to upgrade the hardware. So what am I going to do? I said, all right, you know, cron job, generate static HTML files, and that did fix the problem. You know, Apache serves those static files just fine. But yeah, we went to dynamic stuff. You know, as soon as we got our first advertiser, I bought a nice big server. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well. It's a testament to the early development that you did that it's really continued relatively smooth operation up until the point they made the major database cutover. But still, it's something that I would consider as minor, something that can certainly be worked on. Really, when it comes down to it, at least in the new new era. I really can't see as I have any complaints of the old days, because it was a growing time for all of us. We made a lot of screw-ups, but what do you expect when something was so new? But really the only thing that I have a complaint about today, and again, this is not one of those complaints because I understand the way advertising systems work, is I just wish they could get rid of those Microsoft advertisements.
Oh, Lord. I hear you, brother.
But you know what? If Microsoft wants to pay the bills for Linux, that's just fine.
Yeah, and you know, that's pretty much what I end up telling people. People don't believe me, but I have zero say in the advertising because I want to keep it that way. I don't want to be involved in any kind of advertorial deal at all. And, you know, we've had a few of those come up, and I'm very quick to hand those off to the advertising department and say, these people want to talk to you about ads, and that's it. I'm done, you know, because I don't want to know about it at all. Because that's, in my mind, as a journalist, that's going to keep me the most objective. But, you know, yeah, it bothers me, too. I mean, I don't really like them up there. But as part of the Internet.com network, our ads are sort of sold in bulk.
Yeah, well, they have to be.
Right.
That's the only cost-effective way for a company like Meckler Media. Oops, Jupiter Media, excuse me.
Yeah.
There's another complaint. Tell them to stop changing the name every 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you mean they're not Internet.com anymore?
No.
Well, the brand, yeah, the brand is Internet.com, but the company changed its name over to Jupiter Media about a year ago. And, yeah, we were all kind of, it was okay. But I think they've settled down now, you know, unless, of course, they buy another company. So who knows?
Yep. Well, amazing. So Brian, tell us, is there something coming in the future out at Linux Today? We've talked about the old with Dave and the present. Is there something in the future that the folks at Jupiter are gonna do?
Well, it's something we're kind of working on now, and you're starting to see little glimmers of that. We are more tightly integrated with the news division at Internet.com, which is really the InternetNews.com site. This isn't a secret, but it's not exactly public either. We're part of the news division now. As far as we're still part of the Linux and open source channel that they have at Jupiter Media, but we're also now part of the news division. And I don't report to them, but I have a much closer working relationship with them. And we're sharing content a lot because they're doing so many Linux stories, even as a general technology news site, that it's a great resource that we can, you know, capitalize on and say, you know, look, you know, here's some content that's coming from us, you know, and we can provide to the readers. You know, that doesn't prevent us from going out and looking at, you know, other sites and looking for other content, you know, because a lot of times something that will run, somebody else, like, you know, CNET or the Register or, you know, somebody else is going to have a different angle on the same story.
Well, I'd like to plant a seed for you to work on with the folks at Jupiter. I know there's now a Jupiter events group that's formed up. With the demise of Key3 Media and a number of the other players in the trade show, and we have also seen the sad decommissioning of ALS, there is a real hole here in the central United States of Linux conferences. There's nothing.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting that you say that, Jeff, and we are looking for another place to do our own Enterprise Linux Forum. We did the one in Boston last year, which went very well. We did the one in Santa Clara this summer, which it went okay. but there were some problems with the location and being smack dab in the middle of Silicon Valley, and we were physically too close in time and space to Linux World in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're doing another one coming up this month in Washington, D.C., which is, nobody's ever done a Linux conference there before.
Yeah.
But next summer, we're probably not going to Santa Clara again.
Come to Chicago.
Well,
I will help you organize it.
You know, that was one of the ones that we kicked around. I mean, we've kicked around in Chicago. There's also interest in Toronto, if we want to take it international, you know. There's been quite a few, and I wouldn't object to Chicago at all, because for me that's 2.5 hours up the road, so no problem. No problem doing it there. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know what the team is, you know, thinking as far as, you know, planning that event, but, you know, there's a lot of interest in doing something in the middle of the country.
Well, there is a lot of chatter. There's a unified mailing list of about 15 different lugs in the Midwest, and there's an awful lot of chatter going on about trying to find somebody to pick up the ball for an ALS-like event or something to get started here in the Midwest, because it seems that the folks at Linux World just consider the entire center of the country, from everything in between New York and San Francisco, is flyover country. So there is a need here in the Midlands, and that would be really interesting to see Jupiter do something in that space.
Would, you know, and I think it would be something that should be done, because we had a real, when we did that first show in Boston, we had a real nice attendance rate, because not a lot of people do shows in Boston, you know, and that, you know, we hit New England, and, you know, and we just had, you know, scads of people coming in for that. You know, so there's a real, I agree with you, there's a real need to move these shows around and get them to where the people need to be, you know, where the people are.
We're running out of time, and there's some questions coming in from the people in the IRC, and I'd like to jump to them.
Sure.
And so I'll throw a couple of them out at you. This one is for you, Brian, at least in terms of the current policy for both the Linux PR website and the Linux Today website. What is the policy of what determines who actually gets posted if they make a submission to Linux PR or to Linux Today?
Anybody who turns in any kind of press release is going to go on Linux PR, period. If I look at the story and I haven't seen that story anywhere else, and I make the editorial call that it deserves more attention than on Linux PR, then I will post it, you know, I'll cross-post it out to Linux Today. But the big qualifier is nobody else has picked it up. Because to be honest with you, I would rather link to somebody else's site who has taken that initial press release and followed up on it and turned it into a real news story that's easier to read and not full of a lot of marketing jargon, than to link to a press release even on my own site. You know, I don't like running press releases on Linux Today because they are full of a lot of jargonism. That's just the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
You get all this marketing, market speak kind of thing. And I'd rather have somebody look at the story and massage it. You know, and if it's really interesting, you know, I'll assign my own freelancers to follow up on it.
So does it help out? Okay, say like I'm not Jeff from the Linux Show.
Okay.
Okay, because I can generally get through to you pretty quickly. At least when I'm not being filtered out as spam.
Yeah.
Huh? But,
oh, sure, just drive that knife home, Jeff.
But, you know, does it pay at all for somebody who's a member of, say, a new Linux project to actually get to know the editor of Linux Today? Is that going to help them out?
If somebody calls me, because another way they're going to do that, they're going to call me and say, look, we've got this great new product, and I'm going to say, all right, well, right off the bat, send me a press release so I can get it out on Linux PR, okay? And if the product is not, if the product is unique, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, something new that hasn't been tried or is taking some different approach, then it's going to have a higher interest, I hope, for our readers. But if it's somebody that's coming out with yet another, administrative tool for, Linux clusters, just to pull something out of the hat, that's going to be a little harder to, to push as news on Linux Today.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I have a question for you, Dave.
Yes, sir.
And this is sort of a loaded question because I already know the answer, but what are you up to these days was the question.
Yeah. Well, I'm up to all kinds of stuff. I still run Lin Training with Dan York, and that's pretty big, Linux training site, I guess. And after I sold Linux Today Dinner, I signed a non-compete with them for 3 years, so I couldn't go do really any Linux news stuff, and I just didn't want to do anything Linux related. So I started up a gardening site during that time, and it's kind of like the Linux Today of the gardening world. I guess it's the biggest gardening website there is.
Really? It's that big?
Yeah, we've got 69,000 signed up users, and we do about a 250,000 people a month. I mean, that's nothing like Linux Today, in terms of numbers, but this is gardening, But a lot of
What's the URL?
It's davesgarden.com.
And you happen to be very into gardening, so that all worked out very nicely
fan.
For you, huh?
Yeah, I have memories of planting, acorns and watching them grow when I was 3 years old. That's really what I did for a long time. After I sold Linux Today, I just kind of disappeared from the Linux world altogether, and I did that gardening site. And, we charge subscription, for some of our features, so, we make some money with that, and, that's really worked out really well. And then, I'm doing that, and I'm doing Lin training, and I'm doing the consulting business, so I've got some people ask me to help them with some Linux problems, and so I do that. And I think I'm still on the LWN payroll because I kind of started working for them about a year ago, and I was helping them with some of their ad sales, and they were in a transition period. They moved to a subscriber site themselves, and so I kind of came in and helped out with all that stuff and introduced their text ad system and just general stuff. I'd probably still be working for them, except, money was tight for them, and, I think...
They've always had tight money over at LWN. Another really good site, too.
Oh, yeah. Things are looking good for them, though. I still kind of work with them and stuff, but I'm kind of hoping that one day, they make enough and they can bring me in as an editor. I'd love that. But we'll see.
I have a question that comes from my wife. She wants to know, what's Dan up to?
Dan York?
Yeah.
Well, he's still working for, I think it's called Mitel.
Mitel.
Mitel, right. Up in Canada. And, his boss and his boss's boss were laid off, and then they gave him all of those responsibilities.
So, for no more money, probably.
Right, yeah, definitely. So Dan's pretty covered up right now. And, in fact, I've barely gotten to talk to him in the past 3 months. He's busy. And he still has a job.
Well, hey.
So he's doing better than most of us.
It's the IT industry, and he's got a job. What do you want?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's why I got into the consulting stuff. I thought about getting a job. I even interviewed with a hospital in Knoxville. And, they were about to offer me the job, and I just all of a sudden realized what I was about to do. My first love is, working for myself. I just like to do what I like to do. And it's been that way for a long time, and it's kind of hard to step away from that. And, consulting, it works, You can make some. It's not stable income, but, it's income nevertheless. You guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I live on consulting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's great, though, and, working out of my house. I'm actually living down in South Texas right now. So, you know, I call myself a mercenary these days. I'll do any kind of, you know, any kind of computer work for anybody who wants me to do it if they pay the right amount. I don't do Microsoft, though, so.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Not going to touch it.
Kicking to your moral perspective.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, it's more like I just have no experience. I mean, if somebody wanted to pay me $500 an hour to do it, you know, I still wouldn't be able to do it because, honestly, I haven't seen a Windows box in many years. I like it that way.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. That's about it, I guess.
Well,
gardening.
Hey, that's enough. With what you've gone through since Red Hat, you've worn, like, at least half a dozen different hats in that amount of time.
Oh, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
I drive my wife crazy. It's something new every time. And it seems like every time we have a child, I start up a new, really big project. When we had Katie, our daughter, I started Linux Today. And then when we had John, I started Dave's Garden. And then our new one was born 2 weeks ago. So I'm trying to decide what to start next.
Oh, it's got to be something dealing with RSS feeds. That's the hot thing right now.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's very moderately interesting. So
kind of like what Meerkat, what O'Reilly's doing with that.
Yep. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Only another year or two until they have completely re-implemented Usenet.
Something like that. Well, it is 10 after the hour. And so we're going to call it a night. Dave, it's been nice catching up with you. And Brian, it was great to have you back on the show again as well.
Thank you.
It's good talking to you guys. Arnie and Russ, I haven't talked to you guys in forever. So
it's been a while.
Yeah.
If you ever hear or see anything of Dwight, make sure you send our fondest regards.
I'll do it this Christmas when I send him a card. it's good to hear from you guys. I miss you guys.
Shocking.
Yeah, maybe someday in the future.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, you guys bring internet and try to bring conference down to San Antonio.
Okay.
We'll compete with Chicago for the location. All right.
Hey, maybe we'll fly up to Chicago.
Texas is in the Midwest, isn't it?
It's a separate country. Well, so that's it for tonight, folks. I would like to thank all of the listeners. For a while, we had almost 50 thanks for stopping by. Make sure you tell 10 friends about the show. Check out our website. We certainly plan on at this point.